It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
It's quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. That means it's time for Ask Ross from the Labatt Studio. I'll tell you what, this is brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com. That is where you want to go for all of your barbecue sauces and wine needs, right?
It is. Love it.
All right.
409tailgateclub.com. I need some. I'm missing some of that. When's the next time they're coming in to feed us?
I'm going to have to talk to Andrew about
please,
that. We'll
please.
See if we can make that
I missed
happen.
The last one, so you for did. Me it feels like it's you been
did.
Forever.
You did. And it may have been the best one yet, Ross.
Okay, let's just move on.
All right.
I'm doing intermittent fasting right now. It's not good.
Oh, all right. Let's start off with, where shall we start with? All right. Ross, this comes from Tom in Camp Hill. Okay, Ross. You were James Franklin and you had a dose of truth serum. Evaluate Matt Limegrover as an offensive line coach.
It's amazing how many questions it's like the subtext is I don't think they're that impressed with Matt. Do you ever get that impression?
Yeah. Well, I think in general, you get to the point where people err on the side of blaming the offensive line. People err on the side of the offensive line's not performing as well as they need to, right? Like,
yeah.
It's easier, rather than to say it's Trace McSorley's fault or Miles Sanders' fault, it's easier to just say the line stinks, the line's not doing it. I mean, I hate to tell people, Penn State's line was pretty good last year. I mean,
they have short memories, man, yeah, 14 and 15.
They weren't as good as I thought they would be. They were disappointing in some games, but they were pretty good. They were top three or four offensive line in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I think so.
But don't you also, and as the homer Penn State fan, I'm the one who commits that same sin, when you see a game like the Citrus Bowl,
right,
where all of a sudden the C's part and perhaps the best defensive player in the game
right.
comes in untouched.
Well, that is either... It's probably both, but it's either not a good enough job in preparation by Limegrover, or it's players that made mental errors and or weren't focused enough for the game, because there were multiple mental errors in the game. And you know what, Bob? You didn't see that a lot during the season. But in the bowl game, there was. It probably cost them the game. You know, there's a lot of things that cost them that game, but the mental errors on the offensive line were certainly part of it. Then you get to the point where – you're talking about the offensive line. I guess the one fair critique is that after 2017, I thought they would take a pretty big step further in 2018. I thought they took a step, but maybe not quite as big of a step as I thought. They still had some issues. Whereas I thought after the way 2017 ended, the bowl game against the Fiesta Bowl against Washington, I just thought they got everybody back. I mean, they're going to be loaded. And they were good, but not quite good enough. Objectively, I think Limegrover is good. I don't know that I can watch and say he's great. I think that they improved greatly over what they were before Limegrover, but it's hard to separate Limegrover from Moorhead's offense.
Well,
and the personnel getting a lot better.
But I think also in watching the offensive line as a layman, they do seem to be able to hold their own. They are sending a couple guys to the NFL, and it's those blatant mistakes that we just talked about that makes you say, hey, wait a minute, someone may not be teaching them.
Well, and they also were top like 10 in offense in the country for a while, and I don't know where they finished up offense, Bob, but if it weren't for the 30-some drops, where would they have been in the offense? Like, they ran for over 200 yards against Ohio State. Yeah. I mean, Michigan is the only game that was a real stinker that I remember.
They were more physical, and that was a big – I think that was a big key. Their inability to be balanced on offense, I think that defensive coordinators knew that they didn't have anyone really – to really hurt them in the passing game, because they wouldn't get KJ the ball enough, and they didn't really have to worry about anyone else. I just think they kind of sat on the run as the year went on, but they were able to run the ball on Ohio State. They were able to run the ball on Michigan State a little bit or enough, but I thought it was a flawed offense from a balance standpoint, and I don't necessarily think it was the offensive line's fault.
You know, week to week, I'm here watching the show go on, and I think, oh my God, we're spending half the segment on one question. Now that I'm in charge of it, guess what happens? One question about half the segment. So let's move on. David in Lancaster wants to know, how will the staff handle the quarterback competition this coming year? Will Stevens and Clifford split the reps 50-50? And what would the three young quarterbacks need to do to even have a chance at the job?
Where is this person?
Lancaster.
I think that's a I think that's a good question, a really good question. Part of it depends on Tommy Stevens' health. And other than that, your guess is as good as mine. I don't think they're going to do it 50-50. I think that they probably feel like if Stevens is healthy for spring ball, I think they probably feel like he's earned the right for it to not be 50-50. My guess is if under McSorley it was a split of first team reps of 90-10, 90 for Trace, 10 for Stevens. My guess is maybe it's 80-20 or 70-30, but I don't think it'll be 50-50 because I think they want to make it pretty clear that Tommy's the guy and Tommy's the starter and he's getting more reps, but that doesn't mean they're not monitoring their performance and seeing how they do in the season. You think that's fair, Bob?
Yeah, but what if – I'm just saying, what if they really like Sean? Like, you know, what if they really like what he was able to do in games? Even some of his incompletions should have been big plays. I think that if they feel like that it could be a competition, I think they will wait till August. And I just I don't know that they've seen enough from Tommy to just hand him the job. I think you got to make him earn it a little bit, especially with it, given this. You're not really sure how healthy he can be. I just don't know.
And if they really like Sean, might you get the, Tommy, I know you're healthy, but maybe we should rest that foot.
I think it's a really interesting thing. They have to approach it. They were all in to get Tommy to stay while they didn't know about Sean. And I think now that they know about Sean, they have to make a big picture decision. Well, who is the best option for 2019, given all that we've lost?
All right. Since we've taken this long on the questions, I'll hold my two quarterback theory till another week. Let's move on. Mitch from Drescher wants to know, Ross, if Penn State could pick up an impact grad transfer for the 2019 season, which of these three position groups would you prioritize? Offensive tackle, defensive tackle, or defensive end?
In order, D tackle 1, O tackle 2, defensive end 3. Yeah, that was easy.
Yeah, that was an easy one.
All right, I waited to the third question for a portal
Lancaster's
question.
Lancaster's got the best question so far the quarterback rep split. That's a really interesting one. We obviously don't know, but that's going to be a lengthy conversation for them.
And I think we'll be talking about it all summer. All right, Ryan in East Berlin, PA. Ross,
that'd be amazing if it was Germany, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's fine. I made sure to put the PA in there. Ross, as a former college football player, what's your opinion on the transfer portal? And looking back at your time at Princeton, do you think at any point you may have considered it?
So the only time transfer ever popped into my head at all was after my freshman year when they wanted to move me from defensive end to offensive line. Now, unlike, they probably moved 3 to 5 guys that winter. The other guys, they told them they were moving. For me, they presented it like, hey, you're going to start either way. You'll start on the D-line or you'll start on the offensive line. But we really need you on the offensive line, and we really think you could be something special, like all league and, you know, really do something. Like, they didn't say NFL, but they just said could really do something special on the O-line. They mentioned that the Michigan offensive line was all really good basketball players too. So they thought, you know, that's type, if you're an elite offensive lineman, that you're that kind of basketball player in high school. Like, that's what you are. So the way they presented it to me was such that it was my choice. So I didn't think about transferring because it was like it was in my control. But if they had just said I had to move to offense, I still wouldn't have done, transferred, but maybe I would have thought of it more. I think it is a good thing because I think it allows these kids to be contacted by college coaches, and it's out in the open. Because the old way of doing it was they call your high school coach. They don't want to get in trouble and call you directly. They call your high school coach and say, you think you'd be interested in transferring? Or you as a kid tell your high school coach you're interested in transferring. And then your high school coach has to go call the college coaches, start that up again. And it's all like behind the scenes. I actually think it's better this way. It's out in the open. You know who's available. You don't have to have your high school coach marketing your services. Your name's right there. I do think, though, that the ease of use...
It's streamlined.
...has streamlined to the point where more guys are going to transfer. And I think more of them are going to end up making poor decisions to transfer. But it's their life and it's their life choice.
Okay. We're going to be talking more about the portal in quarter number four. Let's get to
nice
our
tease. That was a professional tease, right?
You like
there,
that? Jim. How about that? How about it? All right. Let's move on to Tom in Downingtown, PA. Where does Penn Where does Penn State go to fill in safety depth after the losses of Humphreys, Monroe, and Wade? Do you see them going for another safety in the transfer portal?
So what do we got right now? We've got Garrett Taylor, Jonathan Sutherland.
I mean, you could say John Patrician might be in the conversation, but he hasn't done much yet. I mean, they're probably going to have to move some more people around. I mean,
they got a JC safety coming in, Brisker.
Yeah.
You know what? Isn't it interesting that the two positions where they're a little light, that they got JC transfers coming in, it's almost like they knew or anticipated.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Right now.
Offensive tackle and safety, and they needed offensive tackle. And they recruited those guys for months. So they clearly had some type of idea that this might be coming down the pike. Clearly.
Yeah, and safety is a pretty important position considering how they want to play a 4-2-5. I mean, they need some bigger defensive backs to get on the field, and they just don't have a lot that they can trust right now.
All right, real quick. Let's assume all players in the portal eventually leave Penn State. At what point should the decreasing scholarship number be a concern? They're down to what, 73, 75 now?
71, something like that.
I don't think it really is because they have enough to suit up on Saturdays, and this enables them to be a lot more aggressive with the next recruiting class. You know, it's almost like you're thinning the herd, if you will, right? You're getting rid of your... pardon the expression, but like dead weight and bringing in new potential kids that can play. I'm going with the Lancaster guy as the winner. That was the best one, the quarterback reps.
All right, quarterback reps from Lancaster. That's David. That's it for quarter number three. We are going to continue to talk about the portal in quarter number four.
Hey Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.